Next on BYUSN. Hey, football's 8-0, but basketball season is almost here. Today, we're calling our shots. Where will BYU finish in the Big 12? And how many games will the Cougars win in the NCAA tournament? Dawson Baker of BYU Men's Hoops joins us to preview the start of the season. What is he looking forward to most about this team and season?
Receiver Chase Roberts announces he's planning on going to the NFL after this season. Do we think he will be drafted? And women's soccer coach Jen Rockwood previews the Big 12 tournament game coming up tomorrow morning against Oklahoma State.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. And welcome to November on a very happy Friday. Did anybody in their right mind think that BYU football would be 8-0 going into November?
Yeah, crazy, man.
Wild. He is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. And football and basketball aren't the only ones doing work, Jerem.
Back-to-back champs for women's cross country. Congratulations to BYU. They won the first Big 12 title. Now they win the second. You could also throw the men's golf match play championship in there as well. So three titles for BYU, two from women's cross country. Men's cross country running as well this morning. Good luck to the men. Just started. You have three of the top four teams in the country in the league. Oklahoma State number one, BYU number two, Iowa State number four. So best of luck to the boys.
The top five finishers on the women's team, Lexi Halliday-Lowry finishing number five overall. She was followed by Riley Chamberlain at six and Taylor Rotinsky at number seven. 5-6-7 finish for BYU.
Is that related to Josh? Got to be, right?
Yes,
Josh
absolutely.
Josh was a tremendous runner.
BYU Athletic Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Carmen Alder finished 10th and Destiny Everett at number 13. So all five runners in the top 13 spots.
You're going to win when that happens.
Indeed. Big 12 champs.
Congrats.
Plenty of reason to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
How well does this team compete?
I think that's the $1 million question.
You better pay attention to them, because if you don't, they're going to beat you. Is create an excitement, expand the brand of BYU.
Retaining four guys off of an NCAA tournament team from a year ago. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Make us really hard to guard no matter who's out there.
Welcome to your BYU men's basketball season preview show on BYUSN. Let's get right into it with a number of numbers that we have focused on, Jerem, when it comes to what we believe BYU will do. Everything from overall record to where they'll go in the NCAA tournament.
Can't wait for this to be super wrong. We're going to do it anyway. Preseason predictions, who cares?
Oh, yeah.
But let's do it anyway.
And let's revisit it and laugh at ourselves when we see how wrong we are.
The value in preseason predictions is pacing yourself against it. Because if you had nothing, then you would walk in and be like, I don't know what we're going to think. You're always going to form an opinion, right? But the 8-0 football season is more enjoyable because BYU was predicted to win 4.5 games out of Vegas and 13th in the preseason poll.
No question.
So the value is in overperforming or underperforming against that. So that's why we set this now, despite what basketball last year and football this year have done against those predictions.
All right, let's set the over-under, if you will, on several different things for BYU and those expectations. And we're going to go up-tempo because that's what the Cougars are going to do. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. They're going to get up and down the floor. And there are going to be a lot of dunks, which we'll get to in just a moment. But let's begin with this. What will BYU's overall record be?
I'm shooting really high here. I think this team is going to be awesome. I think 24-7 in the regular season.
Wow.
I think BYU, 24-7 in the regular season. I think 23-8 is actually what I was thinking with non-conference here.
Okay.
But 23-24 wins. Up there. I think BYU is going to be awesome. I really do. Remember, BYU was 22-9 in the regular season last year. 10-8 in league. I think 10-1 in non-con. I think they only lose one game. I don't know which of the three with Providence and Ole Miss, Purdue, NC State they lose, but perhaps one of those three. I'm shooting super high. I think this team has a tremendous coach. Granted, first-time college head coach, but too much great experience in the NBA, obviously. I think that the roster's too good. You can't have the greatest recruiting class in history and us not be excited and expect a lot.
So you believe 13 or 14 conference wins?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah. We'll cover that specifically in just a moment. See, I'm a little bit more tempered because I want to give Kevin Young and this team with a ton of new moving parts a little bit more time to gel and find the sweet spot. So I think 21-10 is the mark. And look, 21-10 in the toughest college basketball conference in America is really, really good. So if they hit what you're aiming for, it's going to be potentially magical.
Well, riddle me this, because I started with what seed I thought BYU would be in the NCAA tournament, and I worked backward from that. I didn't go forward. I went from there backwards.
Okay.
Do we believe, holistically, this team will be better than last year's team?
We believe that clearly there is more talent.
At the end of the year, are we going to say they were better?
That talent is more capable of winning a game or games in the NCAA tournament. So in that matter, yes.
So tell me seed. Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Do you think that – let's go there now, because that's the most important one, I think. Let's go there now.
Okay,
we're
going there.
I'm mixing up with the production. What seed do you think they're going to have?
A 5 seed.
I do too. Therefore, they need to have a better record.
Do they? Because it's a 16-team conference, and I think the conference is better than it was last year.
I looked at what the 5 seeds had last year. You got to be in the 6-7 win loss range to be a 5 seed. That's what it was last year, at least. So
what was BYU
last year?
That's
why I worked it back.
But BYU had 11 losses last year, and they were on the 5 seed line, but had to drop because of the Thursday, Saturday scenario.
I'm not worried about what they dropped.
I'm just saying you can have 11 losses if your resume is quality enough and still be a 5 seed.
Well, they weren't, though. They were 6. So 5 seed to me, you got, and that's regular season. I think there's, you're going to have a 8th or 9th loss, right, in the tourney, unless you win the Big 12 tournament. That'd be cool, too. If you win that, hey, you're probably a top 4 seed, right, which would be awesome. So that's that seed. I say 5 seed as well. If this team isn't a better seed than last year, then, hey, up until that point, they're not a better team than last year's. But I think we believe in the tourney that they should win. Okay, back to the Big 12 now.
Yeah.
Big 12. What's the Big 12, Rick?
12-8. 12 wins, 8 losses. So if you do the math with my overall prediction, I'm giving BYU some time in the non-conference, again, to figure it out. If there are some injuries or whatever.
They should win for sure in the non-conference.
I hope that they're 10-1 or better, but I'm gonna give them some opportunities to grow. If there's a weird game in there, 9-2 non-conference, they figure some things out. 12-8 in conference play. You're 21-10 going to Kansas City with hopefully a shot to win a couple of games.
Right. Hopefully you win 2 at least. You know.
Yeah.
Put yourself in a position to, depending on where you sort of show up in the tourney, right? You're not going to be in the bottom.
I just believe the conference is top to bottom. It's stronger and tougher than it was last year.
Everyone does. Yeah.
So that's why, even though they'll have a similar record, I believe, to what they had last year, BYU will still be a better basketball team because the conference is better.
Yeah. I'm hoping for a semifinal appearance in the Big 12 tournament. I think quarters is the minimum. But if you can get to the semis, that's great. So, I say 13-7. I think they'll have a lot of success. I really do. You can't have, like, 4 or 5, you know, top 100 type guys and 2 NBA guys and us not feel like you could do something. Now, those are freshmen. It is going to take a minute, like you said. But in non-conference, honestly, if BYU's less than 8-3, severely disappointing.
Okay.
They have 3 games that will challenge BYU. The other 8, they better win all of them.
Here's the thing about that. Kansas, Arizona, Baylor, Iowa State all have multiple NBA guys and more experience than BYU in that regard.
Last year, BYU had 0 NBA guys and had a bunch of wins. So now you've added 2 to a nice core, right? A Foose and Dallin and all that.
Okay. Where will BYU finish in the Big 12 standings if they go 13-7, like you're saying?
Like 5th. I'm not concerned about that as much. Like, if you go 13-7, you're good. Like, you're in a good spot.
I say tied for 6th. Conference expands by 2 more teams.
Yeah.
There are 16.
I think this is the most worthless one we're doing in this whole block.
Tied for 6.
Like, it just, whatever. 13-7 and what your net and your NCAA tournament seed, that's great.
If
I don't really care what they finish in the Big 12.
I think they might have a chance to be one of the top 4 teams, like to have a bye all the way to the quarterfinals in the Big 12 tournament. 13-7.
Have they declared what the tourney format is for 16 teams? I don't think they have, right?
I don't know that
I don't know the specifics on
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is fun. I love this stuff, man. Let's go. Let's keep it rolling.
Yeah, can't wait for this to be
okay, so we did Big 12 standings. Now to the seed in the NCAA tournament. We've already answered that question. We both said 5.
We expect this team to be good, man.
They're going to be good.
It's more about seed than it is anything else. The seed determines what you can do there.
Hey,
you
know? I just hope that BYU can indeed play on a Thursday, Saturday scenario as a 5 seed. And they don't get banished to the 6 seed or 7 seed line because they can't play on Sunday.
So maybe they need to be 4 seed good.
We'll see.
And drop to 5.
OK, Okay, yeah. Who's going to lead BYU in points?
I think Cannon Catchings, 14.6.
Okay.
Not a huge number. You know, it's not a guy that's going for 18 or 20, but, like, there's going to be good balance and good depth on this team. So give me Cannon Catchings, 14.6.
I like that pick. I'm going with Richie Saunders.
Oh, Richie leading the team in points?
13.8 a game.
That would be amazing. He's probably the least volatile in terms of his performance on the team. So that's an interesting
one. I'm buying into the preseason Richie Saunders hype.
He did lead the team in the Bayesian performance rating last year, which takes into account everything you do.
Absolutely.
He is very valuable to any team he's on.
I trust
Wasatch.
I trust in Richie.
Yeah,
13.8, I'm with you. I think it's going to be an incredibly balanced team. There might be four guys that average double figures.
It's going to be as balanced as your breakfast every morning.
Which is typically a Built Bar.
Okay, never mind. The Built Bar.
Or a Robert Irvine Fit Crunch.
That's just getting Cannon the ball, is that equivalent. Okay, how about leader in rebounds?
I'm going to go with Kaba Keita.
Me too.
Right around 8 rebounds a game.
Ooh, 8. I don't think he's going to play enough to get 8.
Okay.
I think he and Foose are going to do this like 20-ish balance there at the 5.
So you're lower, like
6? 5.5.
5.5, okay.
Yeah. I think if he played like 28 minutes a game or something, because his per 40 is probably closer to that.
Yeah.
But he's not playing 40 minutes.
Yeah, he will. And sometimes he gets himself in foul trouble, so that's an area that the coaches are working on.
But it's okay because
you got depth.
You're not expected to play 30 minutes.
Sure. I just expect him to have a couple of like banger games on the glass where he's got like an 18-rebound game. That will help the average.
I would like that. I just don't think he plays enough. Yeah.
Okay.
Assist.
BYU will be led in assist by Yegor Demi.
How many is the question?
I have him at a little over 5 a game.
I got 5. It's flat.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're pretty close in that regard. He is so special sharing the basketball.
What'd you have exactly? Is it 5?
I think I said 5.2 maybe. Nah, I'm trying to remember.
I hope it's 5.1.
Oh, did I
so
say
much.
5 flat 2? We're exactly the same.
We don't consult. In fact, I don't want to know.
Jump it up to 5.2 for me just so we're different.
Yeah, yeah. Change the graphic. Field goal percentage.
Or then change it to 6. Yeah, let's go 6.
Change it to 6?
Let's go 6.
Okay, 5.5 then. Okay, how about field goal percentage?
Foose Traore.
Okay, Foose is number one in BYU history, by the way, at 60.6.
It's so good.
What through 3 years, that's pretty good. Sustainable. What's the number you had?
60% is so high.
Very high.
So good.
I have 59.
I'm giving him a little bit of leeway. I said low 50s, 52%.
Oh, what a down year for Foose.
I know. Like, I said 52% shooting. Just because I want him to shoot more threes, Jerem. And that might bring the percentage down a
little bit. I love you. Don't be shooting threes, dog. There's other guys. Okay? Unless it's a blowout against Florida A&M. You can chuck it up, you know?
I kid. But, 52%, that's probably very moderate.
It is. He averages 60.6 for his career, number one in BYU.
That's incredible.
Awesome. He's great.
If he can sustain that, amazing.
He has shown that he can through 3 years.
Holy cow. Really, really good. Who's going to lead BYU in three-point percentage?
Trevin Nell, and I think it goes up from 38.5% to 40%.
Really?
I think he gets better looks this year.
Okay.
There's more drive and kick. Last year, there wasn't a ton of that. It was pick and roll. It was moving the ball and whatnot.
40% three-point shooter.
Yes. He had an injured foot in like the last month or so.
Sure.
That affects your shooting. He's healthy. He's ready to go, man. We saw the other night, 5 for 8 in the exhibition.
I expect him to take more and make more, but miss more. 37%, just because that number is
going
to be.
His number's going down from last year.
A little bit, but he'll make more because he's going to take a bunch more threes because his health is going to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I say 37%.
He's got that nourishment and strength to do him the good.
Are we
going to
complain about 37% from Trevin now?
I will. I need 40.
Really?
Because I predicted that. Okay, 3-point makes. Trevin as well?
Yes.
How many?
I can't remember the specific number I said. I think
what is graphic?
70-something.
Graphics.
71. I said 71.
I said 72. Again, we don't consult each other. We think too alike. This is not good. Okay, how about blocks?
I'm going with Kaba, dude.
Yeah.
2 a game.
Hard not to go with Kaba. I did the overall number. I did 43.
I said 62.
Okay.
68? 62. 68.
Do we know what we said? Yeah, he had 38 at
Utah
last year.
My math was bad. 31 games times 2 blocks per game.
Typically, your math is amazing.
31 games times 2 blocks per game is 62.
There you go.
So.
Okay, steals.
Oh, man. This one's tough because I think BYU is going to have a lot of guys that are pests on defense.
Yeah.
I'm going back to my Richie Saunders complete player guy.
Dude, Ricardo, Colonel Saunders, dude. Yeah, you have 50.
Yep, okay. 50 steals.
I had 35. I didn't have as high a number. Yeah.
50 steals for Richie Saunders.
Nice.
That's a big number.
That's a huge
number. That's a big number.
That Is that our biggest differentiation there?
The disparity?
Yeah.
It might, well, it might be Kaba on rebounds, if you do like the total number of rebounds, because you had him at 5.5 or 5 per game. Okay. And then how about this? Some random fun other topics. What will BYU's best win be this season?
Arizona at home.
I agree.
Like early 2000s vibes where they knocked off the Wildcats and Lute Olson. I think it's happening again, this time with Tommy Lloyd and the gang. Yeah. Arizona at home. Cannot wait.
Watch BYU win at Houston or something. It's like, oh,
they've done it before.
Yeah, Arizona in the Marriott Center on February 4th is juicy.
Love it.
How far will BYU go in the NCAA tournament?
This is my hottest take. It's actually a little warm in the studio today. Dawson Baker's waiting on us over there. He's feeling it right now. It is a little warm in here. Let me give me
Cold tub. We might as well have him get in the steam room.
Okay, I believe in this BYU team. I think this is one of the most talented teams BYU's ever had. You got to go back to like 81 to like assemble a group like this.
Uh-oh.
I think BYU doesn't just win one in the NCAA tournament. I think they win two. I think they go to the Sweet 16 for just the third time in program history. And finally, it doesn't require the National Player of the Year to do it. Although maybe Yegor Akanunar, who knows? But I just really think by the time we get to that point, they aren't freshmen anymore. And Kevin Young's not a first-year head coach. They're seasoned. They're veteran. They've been through the Big 12 gauntlet. And they get a good matchup because they have a good seed in the first couple of rounds. Give me the Sweet 16. I'm excited about this group.
Jeremy, what did you say earlier about why this BYU football season has been so fun?
Because expectations were low.
So low.
So what do you want me to say? They're going to the NIT? I'm not going to say that. There's too much talent and
I know,
coaches.
There's so much talent. Like this, trust me, at some point this season, BYU will be discussed by multiple national analysts, including our friend Sean Furman.
They already are.
Saying,
all the time.
This is a team that has the potential, especially if they start making threes, to make a Final Four run. That will happen. That will be said by national analysts.
You can't have like two NBA guys and top 100 guys and great role players and supporting players around them and not get stoked.
That, it's going to happen. The national analysts will drive that conversation. Now, I'm going with the expectations because I believe that they will exceed them and everybody will love it.
So CIT.
Nope. They're going to get to the second round, Jerem, and that has not happened at BYU since Jimmer Fredette played for the Cougars. How wild is that? It's been
not good enough for this program, right? You got to win in the NCAA
almost
tournament.
A decade
you
and a half.
Get there, win.
It's almost been a decade and a half since BYU got to the round of 32. So that's why I'm putting that bar. But when BYU exceeds it, then we'll all be super happy.
Things have changed on this program in the last couple of years. Just saying. Okay, how many dunks will Kaba Keita have this season?
This is such a shot in the dark. Like, he's probably going to dunk the ball twice a game, right? Maybe more.
Yeah. Do you have a number?
I think I said somewhere in the vicinity of 70.
Do you know
or
any
80?
Of the numbers 60, that you get? 64 dunks?
64. That's two a game.
Oh, I actually had like one-ish a game, yeah.
That's
I think what I
games.
Meant was to do yours, but yeah.
64?
35.
Okay, you can take my number if you'd like.
I think it's going to be like two dunks a game, honestly. It's awesome.
64. You said 35, right?
But
yeah,
I said 35.
Which maybe you meant 65.
I meant 70, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's going to dunk all the time. It'll be
okay.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, last but not least, will a half-court shot be made this year?
No.
Half-court shot plus?
No. But if it does happen, the most likely to do it is Dallin Hall.
Because he has the ball in his hands.
Yep. And he's done it before multiple times in practices.
Yeah. Well, they'll all claim that they've done it in practice, but
we've seen video footage of doing it in practice.
Give me Yegor Demon against Colorado.
Okay.
I'm calling like very specific. End of the first half. It's so random. I'm just going to be very specific.
If it happens, then a lot of people are going to ask you to.
What did I say on our pre?
To accompany them on future trips.
To Wendover. what did I say yesterday on our morning call about what when Tom Homo comes in as?
This is a true story.
I said this
Jafar. Is a true story.
We're having our
pre-production meeting yesterday.
What?
Halloween morning. And it's like, yeah, he's going to come walking down the hall as like Jafar or something. And then you're like, nah, he would never be Jafar. And then he showed up as Jafar.
He was already the genie. Sweet 16. Let's go.
Speak it into
truth. Set him high.
Speak it into truth.
Hey, on Sundays, we said the expectations high. Let's set them on Monday through Saturday, too.
Our question of the day. What's the minimum threshold of success for BYU men's basketball this season?
Minimum threshold
of success.
Winning one game in the NCAA tournament.
Yes. Getting to the round of 32. Yeah. That to me is the
at answer. Least that.
That's what my expectations are.
AK top last year's team, which is a very good team. You've increased
couldn't
the talent.
Couldn't get to the second round.
Yeah, get to the second round. Yeah.
At Elko Cougar on X, 20 wins, winning record in Big 12, Sweet 16 appearance. Group should be gelling and playing great by March.
Yep. It's a long season. Yeah.
Hashtag BYUSN, X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Continue to weigh in. I want to hear what everyone has to say. Women's volleyball, number 20. Tough loss last night in 5 against Arizona State. Tomorrow, 3 Eastern, taking on the Arizona Wildcats. Lost in 5 in Tucson, trying to get some revenge in that one coming up tomorrow afternoon.
After the break, the basketball season preview special continues. Dawson Baker in studio as promised. How's he feeling? And he was baking in the exhibition. This is BYUSN.
Swift said it, dude.
He's incredible getting downhill. He's got a really good spin move package.
Layup score! Dawson Baker, 5 in a row. Dawson Baker, right side, his first triple, his first points of the night.
The game's always going to demand what it needs, and I'll just be able to fill that void, whatever it is.
Oh, we saw Dawson Baker baking up something special in the second half of that exhibition against Colorado Christian.
All 12 in the second half. Yeah.
It was awesome. A baker's dozen. Da-da-tsh.
Well, a dozen exactly, but yes.
It's literal. It's a baker's dozen. Come on, Mr. Technicality.
It was Dawson Baker's dozen.
Yes, it was. And the man joins us in Studio B as we've moved over to the Cougar Council Room on this very, very happy Friday in early November. Dawson.
What's up, Dawson?
Welcome back to the show.
Come on, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. All right. We just went through our preseason expectations.
Just keeping them low. That's what I'm doing here, Dawson. You heard what I'm saying.
How do you manage that always fun and tricky word, expectations, especially with this team?
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be expectations, outside noise, and that's all it is. You know, within the group, we all have expectations of ourselves, and we're the ones working every single day, so of course they're going to be really high. And so I don't think there's any expectations that are too high that people are thinking that we don't expect of ourselves, you know. And so we're excited to see where we can reach. We're going to shoot for the stars and see where we land.
And you guys are going to work hard enough to get to that point, which is exciting. I've loved what we saw in the exhibition on Wednesday of how you guys shared the ball. That's not always an attribute that comes out right away. Why is that an important thing this early for this group?
Yeah, it's super important. I mean, we got a lot of guys that can score, and Coach Young has really been working on that with us, like making the extra pass, and that's what makes the team kind of gel a little bit better, and it helps when you have some of your best players as really good passers, naturally. And so that helps big time with that chemistry, and you got to really gel early. And of course, the season, you know, will change a lot throughout the season, but it's good to start that early.
What do you see your role as specifically on this version of BYU basketball? Because you've had to figure a lot of things out in the past few months.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly don't see it too different than what it was before. And, you know, we've had talks with coaches, and they've been pretty transparent about what they see in me as a scorer and someone that can create a shot, which is similar to last year, and someone that can really shoot it, stretch the floor, and play down the stretch that can, you know, control the game. And so I don't see it any different as last year. I am the player that I am, and the coaches kind of saw that and brought me back for those reasons, so it's gonna be pretty similar to that.
This question's in no way, shape, or form intended to dog on last year's team, which was an awesome team, but what are the differences you see with this year's team?
I mean, the very glaring differences is just new players. You know, we had young talent mixed with some older guys. Last year we had a lot of older guys. And so it's fun to kind of mesh those guys in and see where their talent can fill some gaps and also where they can grow with the group that we have. And so it's special to see, you know, the ways that we can mesh together and bounce each other out.
Do you get a sense that perhaps are you going to shoot as many threes as last year? Obviously, it's a different coaching staff, different philosophy. But I also get the sense that this team is a little more athletic, a little taller, you know, with Cannon and Yegor in certain spots. And then a few guys that can create off the dribble maybe a little more than last year.
Yeah, I mean, the shooting the threes is going to be pretty similar. We want to shoot for that 30 threes a game mark, and that's important to us because we got a lot of shooters. And I said this in the press conference after the game, like, we're going to do what makes sense for our team. We got a lot of shooters. We're going to shoot the ball, of course. We got a lot of guys that can create. We're going to play to those guys. And, yeah, we got a little bit bigger in some aspects. I don't know about, like, the rebounding, how much that will change. Our wings are a lot bigger, for sure. But yeah, I think we're gonna cater to who we have as players.
How would you explain the culture of the team behind closed doors in practice, what is it like?
It's great. I mean, it's great. It's fun to be around these group of guys. And you know, as a college athlete, you're around these guys more than your family sometimes, and you're around them a lot. So it's fun to be with guys that you enjoy being with, that you can joke around with. And we have a funny kind of dynamic on our team where we got, you know, older guys and we got really young guys, and there's a big gap in between those. But it's fun to see how we mesh together, and we can all be, you know, our 18-year-old selves kind of at heart. And and so it's fun to be with guys that are younger, and they can bring out little childish sides of us, and we can bring out some more mature sides of them, and it's fun to be with that.
What dynamic. Are you talking about? When Yegor shows up as Lloyd Christmas on Halloween from Dumb and Dumber?
We're teaching him a lot of things. It's been pretty fun.
You are indoctrinating him into all of the important things.
It's not just that he's 18, it's that he's an international player, too. You're bringing, and obviously, being at BYU is a unique spot.
Yeah.
Okay, hardest guy to guard in practice right now?
Besides yourself. Guard. It's interesting, man. Trevin's really hard to guard. I end up matching up with him a lot because he is just like getting a lot of screen set for him. He's really good at getting his shot off quick. He's good. He's a veteran guy, so he can bait fouls. So if you're too aggressive, then that hurts you. And if you're too away from him, it sets him up for screens. So there's a hard balance with him where we're like, you got to be really positioned well. And so it's very hard to guard him. Cannon's an interesting one too. You know, you can guard him very good, and you can know he's going to shoot it and contest before he even jumps, and he's still going to make it because he's good, so tall, and he's got
six,
a high
nine,
release.
High release, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's sometimes we're like, I did as probably a good a job as anyone could have done, and he still makes a shot. And so, yeah, those two are fun to guard in practice.
Dawson Baker is with us on BYU Sports Nation. We are in our season preview show. Richie Saunders is a guy who's gotten a lot of attention, and we heard he played very, very well in the secret scrimmage. Take that for what you will. But what are you seeing from Richie, one of your good friends, and his evolution as a basketball player?
Yeah, I mean, Richie is Richie. He just plays so hard, and the ball finds energy, and it finds him a lot of the times. And the thing I love about Richie is that he only knows one speed, and that's 100%. And so it's tiring to be playing against a guy like that where you're just like, man, this guy won't stop. He has no sense of, like, when's the time to slow down. And that's hard to guard, and that's hard to keep the pace up with. And he's got his superpower is his motor. Like, he can just keep going. And so it's fun to play with him. You know that you're going to play with a guy that's going to give it his all. And it brings more out of you as you're his teammate on the floor with him.
He always needs to have long hair because I just need it flopping around with the headband.
Like, I love it.
Just, you know, in the wind, he's streaking down the court. It's awesome. How's your foot doing, by the way?
Great. I mean, it was funny. Like, after the scrimmage and the exhibition, I woke up next day, able to walk in the morning, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, these small little blessings that I've been able to get, and it's been super nice to be able to feel pain-free and play my game and play a lot of minutes and feel okay. So I've been super excited about that.
How has your life and approach to basketball changed since you recently got married? And you joined the likes of Trevin Nell and Richie Saunders as the married guys on the team.
I did. It's been great. I mean, my wife's been so supportive, and she's been a rock in a lot of the tough things that I've been going through with injuries before we even got married. And I couldn't have asked for a more supportive wife and someone that's kind of been by my side through this whole thing, which has been awesome. It's been able to have a more stable part off the court, which has been great, you know, because the court and being in basketball, sometimes it's not always stable, and it's nice to rely back on something that can stay settle with her.
Season starts Tuesday. What are you looking forward to the most as you begin this 4-month journey here?
I'm just excited to see, you know, we had our exhibition game. We looked great. We looked super talented. What's really fun about this group is, like, we have a lot of areas that we can improve still and grow, which is a really good sign for a great team. So I'm excited to see how we change over the course of a season and how we end up at the end of the season, what we look like. I'm just super excited the ways that we can learn from each other and grow. And we got a lot of new coaches, new players, and there's going to be some adjusting. And the course of a season and games are really going to really change us a lot. And so I'm excited to see where we end up.
What did it mean to you to see The Rock and the Marriott Center to near capacity for an exhibition?
Yeah, you don't see that very often. It was awesome. It was great. And it's a great way to, like, an exhibition is supposed to give you a feel for what it's like. And that's a perfect kind of example of what it's going to feel like, you know, a full house and have it be to that volume. And so it was great to see a bunch of people pull up to that game, and it made it a lot more fun for us.
Great stuff. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma. for your season opener on November 5th. There's something else prominent happening that night? I don't know.
What? I believe it's the college football playoff rankings.
That's right. That's right. I vote for BYU basketball.
There's also election night. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Thanks, Dust.
Thanks for hanging out with Dawson. Awesome.
Hey, join us Tuesday. We got live pregame coverage, a full hour on BYU TV with Countdown. Tuesday night, Spence on the court. We'll be in the studio with Tyler Hawes and Kristen and everybody. It's going to be awesome. 8 Eastern on BYU TV and the BYU TV app Tuesday night.
Hey, BYU men's cross country just finished their race in Waco. Will BYU leave the Big 12 championships with multiple titles?
Come on, baby!
This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Follow us on social, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's get to today's headlines.
On the Royal Blue podcast, receiver Chase Roberts announces his plan to enter the NFL draft after the season. Roberts has caught 31 balls for 497 yards, 4 touchdowns this year. He has another year of eligibility should he choose to use it, but right now he says the plan is to go to the NFL.
Speaking of Cougars in the NFL, Puka Nacua suffered a knee injury in practice. We learned that it was not serious. It's called minor, but he remains questionable to play against Seattle and Jerem's Seahawks.
I want Puka to be in that game. Come on.
Kyle Van Noy and the Baltimore Ravens host Zach Wilson and the Denver Broncos. Tyler Allgeier and Atlanta host the Dallas Cowboys. Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and the New Orleans Saints will take on Brady Christensen, Dax Milne, and the Carolina Panthers.
Zane Anderson, Chris Brooks, and the Packers take on the Lions. Blake Freeland and the Colts travel to Minnesota to play the Vikings. Michael Davis and the Commanders play against the Giants. No Hail Mary needed, perhaps, in that one. Kyrus Tonga and the Cardinals host the Bears. And Ryan Rico and the Bengals play the Raiders.
Rico looking so fresh in that Bengal orange. Number 20, BYU women's volleyball drops a 5-set match to number 13, Arizona State, last night. Cougars led 2-1, but lost the final 2 sets to fall to 6-4 in Big 12 competition. They look to bounce back tomorrow against Arizona. Keep in mind, Arizona won the first meeting in Tucson in 5 sets. You can watch tomorrow, 3 Eastern on ESPN+.
4-seed women's soccer plays 5-seed Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals tomorrow in Kansas City. BYU and Oklahoma State tied 2-2 in the only regular season meeting. You can watch tomorrow's game at 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN+. It's an early one. Jen Rockwood will help preview the matchup in the next segment.
BYU men's and women's cross country competing today at the Big 12 Championships in Waco,
Let's
Texas.
Let's go!
Number 1 women's cross country goes back to back. They are your Big 12 champs for a second straight season.
Very nice.
The women had 5 runners finish in the top 13, led by Lexi Halliday-Lowry's 5th place finish. Riley Chamberlain, Taylor Rotinsky, Carmen Alder also had top 10 finishes. And how about the number 2 ranked men's team? They follow up the women's team performance and win their first Big 12 championship. Woo! They upset number 1 Oklahoma State. BYU's top 5 runners finished in the top 12, Jerem.
Boom.
Casey Klinger laid it out for us yesterday, the path to a championship. They did it. Klinger finished in 3rd overall. James Corrigan, Joey Noakes also had top 10 finishes for your Big 12 champions.
Men's golf winning the match play championship and now this. So the men winning a couple of titles here the last couple of weeks. Congratulations to both men and women's cross country. That's awesome. Baseball announces its schedule for the 25 season, a 53-game schedule, 31 road games, 22 home games, 30 Big 12 conference games. Cougars open the season with a 4-game series at Fresno State, home opener March 5th versus Stetson. That's also the name of my brother-in-law. BYU opens Big 12 play at home against UCF, closes out the season with a 3-game series at home against Texas Tech.
Isn't Stetson the cologne, too?
I think so.
Final weekend of the regular season in the National Women's Soccer League. A lot of former Cougars in action, including Michaela Clough, Brecken Mazingo, Cam Tucker, Liv Griffiths, Michelle Vasconcelos, and the Utah Royals, who take on Gotham FC tonight. Ashley Hatch and the Washington Spirit, playoff bound. They have already qualified and will take on the North Carolina Courage tomorrow. And Jamie Sheppard and Bay FC look to clinch a spot in the playoffs against the Houston Dash. Good luck to all of those women.
Men's tennis begins play today in the Ralston Newfield Coaches Challenge at SMU. Tournament goes through Saturday.
And BYU men's and women's swim and dive with their home opener tomorrow, 3 Eastern, 1 Mountain, against UNLV. that takes care of headlines.
Join us Tuesday night for a BYU Sports Nation College Football Playoff Rankings live reaction show. This is going to be fun. Episode streams live exclusively on social. We'll be on YouTube, X, Instagram, and Facebook beginning at 7 Eastern Tuesday night. And then at 8 Eastern, we've got the basketball pregame show. It's a loaded night.
It's going to be a busy day, Jeremy. I mean, think about that. Live BYUSN games. The poll selection show.
All day.
It's election
Truman
night.
Show. Turn this into the Truman Show.
Hey, BYU women's soccer, they're busy too this weekend. Head coach Jen Rockwood joins us after the break to preview their showdown in the Big 12 tournament with Oklahoma State. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Do what football did.
I'm probably more proud of this team this year than most of the teams that I've seen.
The win. It's great to have, but I think they're already in.
They took it on the chin a little bit early, and like you said, they bounced back.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in studio.
Get off of me!
Love that fight from BYU women's soccer in so many ways this season.
Yep.
They have overcome, and now they're into the Big 12 championships as a four seed. Joining us now to preview the game with Oklahoma State is the head coach of BYU women's soccer, Jen Rockwood. The legendary.
What's up, Jen?
Rockwood.
About that. But yeah, hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so Tom Holmoe told us yesterday in his Jafar costume, as he was sitting in that
very serious content,
that he's more proud of this specific BYU women's soccer team than a lot of teams. And that's saying something. He doesn't hand out those compliments often. But I think he was obviously talking about everything you've overcome. So how has it been for you? Because you've coached two College Cup teams, and you've been in a national championship game.
Right.
But this team has overcome. So how's it been for you?
Yeah, you know, it's been quite a journey. Coming into the season, we knew that we'd, you know, be young and inexperienced. And you know, not having 13 players from last year's Final Four team, we knew that, you know, we had a lot of work ahead of us. And as we went through the season, you know, losing six more starters through injuries and season-ending injuries.
It's insane.
That's not something you expect. We've been a pretty healthy team for the last 5-6 years. So these girls have really had to deal with the adversity. We've had to change a lot of positions. People have had to move from different positions, and some of them positions they've never played before. And so they've been really resilient, adaptable. They, you know, they've been learning as they go, and they've really come together. You know, you learn more about yourself and about your team through those adverse challenges that you see, and we've had our fair share of them and have come through on the other side playing better than before. So it's been fun.
How did it not go south? Because there was a minute where it wasn't looking good. It wasn't the standard, but this team overcame, and now you're got a bye in the tournament. You got a huge win against Texas Tech in the last minute that probably got you into the tourney. We'll ask you about that in a second, but how did it not go that way? How did you keep it together to reinforce this season and get probably back to the tournament again?
Yeah, well, one thing is we had a very, you know, the second toughest non-conference schedule in the country. So I didn't do the team any favors by putting them in those situations. But through those, you know, we were in every game. We played, I think, 5 or 6 top 25, 20 actually teams and a couple top 10 teams. And we're in every game. And so as we came out of the non-conference, even though our win-loss wasn't what it's used to being, our RPI was still higher than a lot of teams who were 9-1. And so I think that helped the girls realize that, hey, we're still in the mix to accomplish all the goals that we set out for, even though we haven't won as many games as we typically. And, you know, they dealt with a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure to come into this program and do what they've been doing. So they've learned how to do that. They've come together as a team. We've had some great leaders up top with Allie Fryer, who's scoring some great goals for us. In the back with Avery Frischneck, who's really been a leader, especially with the loss of our two captains. So we have two captains that aren't even on the field for us right now. And so just a lot of growth. A lot of our young players have stepped up, and we're not inexperienced anymore. You know, we've played a really tough schedule, tougher than most any team in the country. And we've come through on the other side, and we're playing the best soccer and ready for the Big 12 tourney.
You know, I said when the season began to BYU fans, look, if this team has a winning record, considering everything that's going on, this would be a massive accomplishment.
And looking at the schedule, right?
Yes. Yeah. You're 8-5-5. I mean, you've blown my expectations out of the water, you know?
Yep.
And that hopeful prognostication. So, and you cap it with a win at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
What did that win do for your team as you enter postseason play?
Well, certainly it was a very special win. We had just coming off, you know, we've put games together, maybe not a full 90, right, as you call it. And so when we played our last home game on Southfield against Houston, we felt like it was a full 90. And we'd seen glimpses of it all season in different areas. And Texas Tech, one of the best defensive teams in the country, hadn't lost a game in like two seasons. And we went in with confidence, knowing that if we played well and that we were getting better, that we could get it done. And they, you know, we didn't give up, and we put it all together. A huge win for us to give us more confidence. It could have helped us for an at-large in the NCAA, another top 50 RPI win. And if anything else, it just shows us that we can be successful against any team in the conference going into the tournament. And so it's really exciting to see. It gave us a bye. And we finished fourth place out of 16 teams, which is, I'm really proud of this group, proud of the staff, how we've all come together to have a very successful season considering all of the things we've been through.
Can we get a better sorting tool than RPI?
Yes, you know.
Can we work on that, please?
I hate RPI. RPI sucks.
We like it when it benefits us.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't like it when it doesn't.
So antiquated. It's literally 43 years old. We can come up with something better, right?
For sure.
You know, this tough schedule, this team. I dare another college soccer team. Go ahead and lose 13 players, 9 starters. See if you can't be a top 4 team in your Big 12. Come on. Okay, Oklahoma State tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Early game.
Yes.
When are you guys leaving, and mm-hmm. what's it going to take to beat the Cowgirls?
Yeah, earlier than we thought. Found out at 11 yesterday that they've moved it up to 9 a.m.
Hooray!
You had travel plans that don't
accommodate
that
travel plans, probably would be very different. Some things you can't control. So we'll be, you know, getting up at 6:30, which will be 5:30 our time, ready for our game. But they're having weather challenges and want to get...
Like last year.
Yeah, just like last year, try and get through the tournament. There's 4 games tomorrow. So, you know, Oklahoma State's a team that we played very well against here on Southfield. We ended up in a tie, but statistically and performance-wise, we played very well. So that should give us some good confidence going into the game. And at this point, you just have to play better. You have to play harder. You got to want it more than your opponent.
Yeah.
Because anything can happen. They came from behind. They scored 3 goals in the last 15 minutes. To beat Cincinnati.
Saw that.
They were down 0-2, so you know they're riding on a high right now, but we hope to go in and set the tone nice and early that we want to take control of the game and have good results.
What's the breakfast item of choice to help you wake up?
Oh, I don't know. I don't eat breakfast. The girls all have different stuff, so.
No breakfast.
Not for me. I get a little too nervous on game days. I try and be careful. And then I eat a lot afterwards if we win or lose.
Do you some things in common?
Yeah.
And in Kansas City, there's a lot of good options, which is great. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you feel like you're in a good position to get an at-large if you don't win the Big 12 tournament? How are you feeling right now?
You know, it's hard to say. You never know. I mean, we don't have very many wins, right? But our wins are good wins against good teams. We have played a challenging schedule. I know they look at what you're trying to do in the non-conference, and we certainly went out and tried to get some good results. Our RPI is in bubble range for sure. I think we're at 34 right now. I think if we win, if we can get a result against Oklahoma State, another good RPI team, I think that would be enough. But you never know. We always set out to win a conference championship no matter what the situation is. So that's still our goal this year.
Mm. That's the way to ensure you're in.
Yeah.
Win that.
Just win the Big 12 tournament.
Just win the Big 12 tournament. That's all we got to do. That's the plan.
Control your own destiny.
That's what we like.
What type of team is Oklahoma State style-wise?
They're a mixture of some possession, but yet some direct play. They've got good athletes. They have girls who are technical and can be dangerous. They do like to serve in behind, so a little bit more direct. And we've played a lot of direct teams. We've seen a lot of different looks, a lot of different formations. And so I think that has prepared us very well. They've got a great keeper. They don't play out of the back, so our press is something that's been super effective for us. Our press probably won't be as big a factor, but we're going to have to be committed to being physical and winning those first and second balls because their keeper can punt as far as any keeper I've ever seen. So. We'll have to be committed to win balls in that sense.
We're going to get some melatonin on the way out of the studio so you can get a nice early bedtime.
Up that in at 7 p.m. tonight.
Yep, we'll get in and have to go right to bed.
Well, melatonin, some BYU Sports Nation karma.
Yes, love it.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Let's go. Thanks,
Jen,
guys.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay, you can watch 4-seed BYU take on 5-seed Oklahoma State tomorrow, bright and early, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Maybe you get up at 5:30 with the team. Just to get ready, good mojo on ESPN+.
Listen, I want to start my Saturday morning the right way. That's the way
to
do it.
At 5:30, at 10 a.m.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's go. Hey, with BYU on a bye this week in football, let's take a closer look at the games this weekend that will impact the Cougars the most. It's the Rootables next on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. He is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. It's time for your weekend rootables, meaning which teams you should root for while BYU football is on a bye that will help the Cougars in the long run. Let's discuss, beginning with Texas Tech at number 11, Iowa State. Who should BYU fans root for in this contest?
I think Texas Tech get Iowa State a loss and then see if ESPN College Football Final uses the same song. I watch it every week. I love the show. I love the song. Get Iowa State a loss. So the BYU is the only undefeated team. And they're kind of up a game, if you will, on it. Texas Tech would still be in the hunt with two losses.
Yes, that's the thing. That's the thing for me with Texas Tech is if they do win, they're still only a two-loss team. So is it better that if BYU has another three-loss team and Iowa State remains unbeaten, meaning the Big 12 has a better chance of getting multiple teams into the playoff?
I don't care about that. I just want BYU in the playoff.
Okay.
Like, if the league gets two, that's cool, but I'm not as concerned about
that. I feel like I win either way here, no matter who wins.
Yeah.
There's a scenario that helps the Cougars out.
It would knock Texas Tech. To me, if you don't have 0-1 or two losses, you're out of the race.
Yes, if Texas Tech has three losses, good night, Red Raiders.
You're out. Okay, number 17, Kansas State at Houston.
Clearly, this is Kansas State win. A loss to Houston would be, I think it would be bad for BYU. Like, you want Kansas State to remain to be really good because you're on the tiebreak against them.
Yes. As long as Kansas State doesn't somehow get into the Big 12 title game over BYU on some tiebreaker.
Yeah, there's only
multiple one-loss teams.
They still have to play Farmageddon.
Right? And that will determine one of the teams. I don't think both of those teams get in unless BYU collapses down the stretch. I don't think they will.
Yeah. Give me Kansas State. Keep winning
K-State.
Other than BYU.
Keep that BYU win looking good.
Arizona State at Oklahoma State, Jerem.
Oklahoma State, so the Arizona State can get a third loss.
Three losses.
Yes.
Give me all the three loss teams.
Oklahoma State's 0-5 in the league, man.
I'd like to see Oklahoma State continue their bowl streak. It's a crazy fun streak. Like, get a win. Yeah, I like Mike Gundy, man. He's weird. He's quirky.
I like him, too. If they don't go to a bowl game, it happens.
I hope they can figure it out.
Year, maybe they don't.
I like our Oklahoma State friends, too. Yeah.
I want Oklahoma State not to win a bowl game or go to a bowl game after they knocked BYU out of one last year. That's what I want. How about that? TCU at Baylor.
Oh, man. I'm all in on the Bears train. One, they need to hand TCU a third loss.
Yes. Yesterday. Get them out of contention.
Makes that road win for BYU look a little bit better. So, yeah, give me Baylor at home in that rivalry game.
Yeah, go Bears.
Number 18, Pitt at number 20, SMU as we move out of the Big 12.
Clearly, Pitt's undefeated. SMU one loss is a big game in the ACC.
Keep
SMU in the ACC contention. If they can go to the ACC title game, oh, man, that's a good win for BYU in that at-large conversation.
Yes, SMU needs to win this game, help BYU strength the record going into the first college football playoff rankings release on Tuesday.
Can't wait. BYU's going to be in no matter what. It's just where. Number 4, Ohio State at number 3, Penn State. This has nothing to do with BYU. But here it is.
I want Ohio State to win this game just so there's one less unbeaten team in college football.
And there is the relevant point and why Colin Potter put it in here. Yes. Fewer undefeateds makes – this is what 84 did for BYU.
Yep.
You had to have people lose to elevate yourself.
If Ohio State wins at Penn State, like convincingly, the Nittany Lions could drop like quite a bit. That's
no
a whole
believes
game
they're actually a national title contender. They always lose a couple.
Go Ohio State.
Yeah.
Give me TOSU.
Penn State's great at being 10-2, 9-3.
Number 13, Indiana at Michigan State.
Michigan State, knock another undefeated up.
The fewer unbeatens, the better for BYU. Go Sparty.
And that would help on Tuesday for the selection show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our question of the day, football out, basketball in. What's the minimum threshold of success for BYU men's basketball this season? At Sean Wilkie on X says, to get that first tournament win for Kevin Young, maybe even before a certain other coach gets his first tournament win.
Okay, then. What if BYU wins on Thursday and then Mark Pope and Kentucky win on Friday? Then that would technically happen, and both won.
There you go.
Hey, that works.
That's the ideal scenario.
That works.
At BHW32 on Instagram says, Elite Eight, baby, and Big 12 champs. It's our blue goggle.
The Big 12 champs is less realistic than the Elite Eight to me.
Woo. My goodness.
Chew on that.
Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Nash on X says, must win a game in the tournament and get 21-plus wins. Those are your clear indicators that you were better.
Yeah.
You win a tournament game.
21 is an interesting number, but We don't have time to discuss.
All right.
We have 30 seconds.
Today's Rise and Shout Out is done by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Women and men's cross country bringing home Big 12 championships today. Congratulations to Ed Eyestone, Dilgy Taylor, and all the athletes, the coaches, the sports staff. That's awesome.
Oh, so incredible. Our thanks to today's guests, Dawson Baker and Jen Rockwood.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. Next week, Utah week, baby.
Let's go. For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Shannon Evans of Gymnastics. Go Cougs!